You are listening to the audio-only portion of the KoopaCast. To watch the video version, please check out purenintendo.com/KoopaCast. The intro and outro music of our KoopaCast is brought to you by the artist Big Giant Circles, who has composed for projects such as Mass Effect 2, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, and Borderlands 2. Our opening song is Houston, and our closing song is A Rose in the Field, both from the album Glory Days. To listen to more of Big Giant Circles' work, go to music.biggiantcircles.com to see his entire collection of video game remixes and soundtracks. You can also find his collection on iTunes. Again, that website is music.biggiantcircles.com. Hello, everyone. Welcome to KoopaCast number 55, the KoopaCast that almost didn't happen. Thank you, Google. I'm your host this week around, Matt. I am the multimedia manager here at PNM and PureNintendo.com, your independent source for all things Nintendo. And I am joined by two other people. I am joined by our boss, Justin Sharp.
Good to be here.
And PNM writer, Justin J. Money Hinton.
Hello, everybody.
And this week, we're actually going to be talking about games that scare us. It's getting close to Halloween. In fact, it's actually tomorrow for many of us here in the U.S. and I guess some of us in the U.K. and none of us in Australia. But and maybe Canada. I don't know how that works over there.
Yeah.
Oh, and happy Dios de la Muerte to Mexico.
There you go. Uh-huh.
Let's get all the nations in there. Uh-huh. And so yes, we are going to be talking about games that scare us and scary games and whatnot. If you have any questions for us, you can always check out our Q&A app. And as it activated, and we'll be looking at that for the entire KoopaCast. You can also You can also tweet me, Purely Matt. You can see my Twitter handle. Oh, man, what's going on? You can also see my Twitter handle right below here in our brand new lower thirds. I am Purely Matt on Twitter. Actually, I'm Purely Matt P on Twitter.
Purely Matt P on Twitter?
Yes.
Ooh, well,
no, I'm Purely Matt. I'm thinking of my other handle. Oh, I've been spreading misinformation. Yes, you can email me at purely, or you can tweet me at purelymatt on Twitter using the hashtag KoopaCast. Yes. And we'll read it live.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to share if they have any gaming memories as they were a kid or as an adult of games that just, you know, freaked them out or scared you or, like, you know, just generally unsettled you?
Well, really, the first game that I ever played that truly scared me was Silent Hill. Mm. After that, I got into Resident Evil, and that's probably one of my favorite survival horror, well, the classic ones, I should say, are my favorite survival horror games. They're not so much survival horror anymore. I think they're trying to get back to it, but they've kind of become more action-y in recent titles. But yeah, Silent Hill, Resident Evil, Master Reboot, an indie game. That's actually one that's kind of creepy. I've been enjoying that. So shout out to Wales Interactive for Master Reboot.
Mm. All right. How about you, Justin?
I think the one that always comes to mind is Resident Evil 4, which wasn't terribly long ago. This is the GameCube version that I remember playing first. Obviously, they have how many remakes and remasters now? I think they're coming out with another remaster.
They're up to six, and yeah, they're going to remake. No, they're going to remake the first Resident Evil.
Yeah.
Well, I think 4 was probably like the pinnacle of survival horror games. Like, when people think of survival horror games, that's what they think of.
Yeah, and I don't want to do too many spoilers. But, like, the scariest part about that game, Yeah, some games are like they're just gross, you know, like, oh, that's just gross looking. It's not really scary, you know. Like they're more graphic than scary. But Resident Evil 4 had some really scary parts. The one that jumps to mind is when you're playing as Ashley, which may spoil for some people, but you get to play as Ashley at one point in the game where you get separated from Leon. And she's in the basement of this castle, and you really only have your flashlight. You don't have a gun. You don't have anything that Leon has. And you're just kind of walking through the dark basement, trying to, you know, make your way back to finding where Leon is to regroup. But while you're down there, there are these guys that chase you, and they've got these chains. And I remember playing it with surround sound because I had surround sound. And you could hear like the chains, you know, like clink, 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 you know, and you can kind of hear it like coming from behind you. And then the scariest thing was when they start running, because I think they eventually like run at you at some point. And so you hear this like clink, 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 you know, it's picking up speed and it's getting closer. You're like, where is it? You know, so you're like just spinning around trying to find it, because that's the scariest thing, like not knowing where they are. You know, it's like if I don't know. I don't know. For some reason, it makes it less scary if you can see the beastie or, you know, the bad guy or whatever that's coming after you. When you're just like in the woods and it's completely dark and you just hear sounds kind of darting around. So. That was a real scary part for me, and I remember one of my friends was watching. He was we used to play like all night. We used to just play marathons and stuff. And like he woke up, he's like, "What is this? This is ridiculous." But yeah, such a fun scary game.
Well, and you mentioned not seeing the bad guys. I think that's kind of what part of the appeal was with Silent Hill, is because you kind of had like that radio that would kind of crackle when something was near you, but you didn't really know where it was.
And then that was also good because the draw distance of the game kind of worked with the horror feel of that game. You couldn't see very far ahead of you.
Added it to the suspense. Yeah, and I think that's what a lot of the horror games recently are missing, that suspense, you know, that it's not that they don't have scary things in them, it's just either the timing of what they're doing is just not, they don't quite have you on suspense before they're actually scaring you with something. Like something jumps out at you, but you're not even like scared if something does jump out at you. You know what I mean?
Well,
Like the sound's not very good.
I think part of the problem is they're trying to focus more on the blood and the gore and the violence of it, rather than the feeling that you get from playing it. I think that's kind of part of the issue as well.
Because like even in Resident Evil 4, like you play just the very beginning, like it's just kind of mysterious. They give you like little hints, like you first go up to that cabin, you know, and as you're walking up to it, like you're playing the game normally, and then it does like a quick little cutscene that shows like the guy looking out of the blinds, or you know, just doing like some quick little stuff, and then I think someone drives up somewhere, and anyways, but there's all sorts of little like tiny cutscenes that add to the suspense. Then you get into the cabin, you ask the guy, "Hey, have you seen this girl?" And then he, you know, ends up grabbing the axe and stuff. But I don't know, they just did such a good job with that one. It is. I know a lot of people mentioned Resident Evil 4, but that's a good one.
One game I think that we're all missing out of or missing out on is Fatal Frame. That is one game I've been itching like to play, and they just refuse to localize it.
We need a frame fall or Operation Fatal Frame Fall.
Well, I think that's an actual campaign going on.
Yeah, they have an Operation Zero, I think.
It'd be funny if it was Operation Fatal Fall. Like, that would seem
Need to
to.
pay for that information then.
Just release an HD remaster of all the previous ones, localize those, and then release the new one in North America.
Yep.
Fatal Frame HD Collection? I would totally buy that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I think another game, I mean, I played a bit of it just to kind of prepare for the podcast this week. Zombie U.
Oh,
I totally forgot about that.
The Wii U launch title. I went ahead and picked up a demo of that and played that a few times, and that does a very good job of building up atmosphere.
Yes.
And tension, and just letting it snap right at the right time, just when something comes out, just jumps out at you or something.
Yeah, that is a good modern example, man. I'm glad you brought that one up.
And that one plays more on like the gameplay. Yeah. I mean, it does very well setting up the creepy environment and all that, but the gameplay elements they put in there, like while you're looking at your inventory, you're kind of split between keeping an eye on your character and what you're doing on the gamepad. So
yeah, you're exposed. You're not quite safe.
Definitely. And I think they did a great job building on those gameplay elements to create that horror feeling.
Yeah. And I think, too, you have to have a good motivation to stay alive in the game, right? You know, if they're gonna kill you and there's not much, consequences to being, brash and just running in and dying every 5 seconds, then it takes away some of the suspense too. And since you brought up Zombie U, Matt, that is a great example of, introduces that, not really a permadeath a little bit, but whatever items you have when you die, that backpack or of those items you had is wherever your body was, and you come to life as a new, new survivor or whatever. So I thought that was really cool. Like you're wanting that much more to stay alive, So you're that much more on edge, rather than just like running down a street, like, oh, here comes a guy, bang, bang, bang. You're not going to be doing more of the willy nilly run and gunning.
Yeah, because you are not powerful in that game at all.
No.
You can maybe take on two zombies at once.
Yeah, maybe.
That's being very generous, and that's if you have like a full clip.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you get too many on you, it gets kind of hairy. Yeah.
And like the cricket bat is very effective, but not in large groups.
Definitely not.
like if you just have one coming at you, that's, hey, don't waste ammo, use your bat, but yeah, everything else is.
Did that game have a quick turn on it?
Oh, like a 180 spin? Yeah.
I think it did. Or at least a way to look behind you.
Yeah.
I can't remember all of a sudden, because I feel like I really needed that at one point, like, just to shove the zombie out of the way and then just turn and run.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember. It's been a while since I played it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I played that, and then I played the Resident Evil Revelations demo.
Ooh, yeah.
And the controls are very similar, so now I'm, like, trying to figure out which was which.
Mm-hmm.
And the demo was really good. But I was looking at J Money's review and then kind of some gameplay of like later levels, and it doesn't look like it kind of follows up on that kind of feel at all.
Yeah, and what's kind of interesting, Revelations is good as far as trying to get back to some of that survival horror, but it's still not quite there, mostly because of the way the game is set up. I mean, like it's like a very official type of mission thing. And every time there's a cutscene, it's just very official. There's nothing like, oh, no one's scared. None of the people are scared. Nobody's running for their lives. Like, if you go back to the first original Resident Evil, or at least the GameCube one that I'm thinking of, you got that cutscene at the beginning where they're literally running for their life into the mansion from the crazy zombie dogs. Like, that's a pretty good set piece, to get you into the mansion. Then when you're in the mansion, you just have this very, old style, dark mansion, and they just kind of unveil the zombies very little as you go. Like, you see the first zombie, like, eating your friend, so they just have more impactful, scary moments in that. And also, I think in Resident Evil Revelations, the ooze things are not scary.
Yeah, oh yeah, like the blob, big blob.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, they're just these blob things, like, that's just not scary.
Well, and I wish they, with Resident Evil, they kind of get away from like that kind of weird sci-fi-ish kind of creatures and kind of go more back to like a traditional zombie. I know that they were kind of moving more toward like a whole, I don't know, like everything is being infected sort of thing, but
Yeah,
I
cuz
don't
like
know.
yeah,
It's
when
gone
it
from zombies to monsters.
Yeah, and like they had in Revelations they had more stuff where like you feel bad for the creatures you're shooting, you know? Like the ones you find on the beach. Remember those, Matt? Like just the big blobs that have like a giant mouth. You're like, "I hope this thing doesn't have a conscience cuz this is just like an awful existence. Let me put it out of its misery." You know what I mean? There's another one in Revelations, I think later on. It's kind of like a hybrid. It's someone who's like just been infected, but they're still kind of there. And it's just like, it's more sad than anything. You're just like, this is just sad and gross. I'll kill you. It's not scary, you know. It's like, but I think the scariest moment maybe was. You come up to like a fish tank or something midway through the game. There's some things that jump out of the fish tank. It's blurry. It's very vague memory. But I don't remember being super stressed in that game.
And I'd honestly like to see something new. I mean, I know we have classics like Silent Hill and Resident Evil, but just something new and different. I like zombies. Zombies are great, but maybe we can kind of branch out into something else.
When's the last
time we really went into like the supernatural stuff again?
Werewolves or, you know, I don't know. All sorts
Well,
of
that's where I thought the Grinder, which is something that's going to be in issue 20 of the magazine. The Grinder, I think, was kind of, I don't know if it was necessarily survival horror, really. I think it was kind of more action-y still. But they had like werewolves and vampires and zombies, and it was kind of like B movie-ish almost. But that was a little more different, off the beaten path, kind of. I'm kind of sad to see that one die because I was really excited.
So what about this? What about scary moments in games that were not horror games?
I guess like I'm just like scared to die in a game is in Super Mario 3D World when you're playing the last level and you're getting towards the very very end. I was very scared to die because I was like, I don't want to retry this level.
That's not real horror. That's just I don't want to do Champion Galaxy again.
So not scared to die, but just
Like things that
some
scared me, like
sort
they were in a horror game, but not a horror game.
of. That's a tough one.
Like I can tell you right now that I was trying to come up with a list the past couple weeks. And, I'm not bragging, but I'm a pretty unshakable person. And so I only came up with a few examples, like three examples, and they were all just when I was a kid. So when I'm an adult, it's just like, yeah, whatever. Except, I mean, some of you kind of like, I almost half jumped a little bit the first time. But like, I was kind of thinking back to like, say, Ocarina of Time, that whole Shadow Temple. Nothing was really too scary, but just. It was very and it was an unsettling scenery. It was like it was done really well. Like the music was very like was like the that minor chord chant.
Very, very dirge-like. Yeah, the atmosphere was very good in the Shadow Temple.
And that fairy, I think, was like I think the peak of like why, how unsettled I was with that game. And it was like the bell started ringing and you start moving down. I was like, oh, something really bad's gonna happen here.
Yeah, Zelda games are a good example.
How about in Duck Hunt where the dog pops up and laughs at you? It's very scary.
We're all just
Yeah. Yeah.
Dog. I can't think of any really. I mean, there's a lot of suspenseful moments where like you're kind of like on the edge of your seat, but I can't really think of anything that's like scary.
Yeah.
Because typically, I think games are either looking to scare you or they're not. You know, it's either going to be like a scary moment or it's going to be suspenseful.
Right.
So, if you know what I mean.
No, I totally understand that. Yeah, I mean, I was hoping that list was gonna be a little bit longer.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's all good. So I guess we can kind of move on. We've already touched on it a little bit. It's just like what games can do to like really, scare people. And we talked about like building the atmosphere. Like what would you like to see in like a game? Not like a re not like a specifically a franchise game, but like somebody wants to set out like to make a horror game, and they asked you for advice, like how am I going to make this horror game? Like, what are you going to tell them?
Yeah, I was thinking about that a little bit. Like, I would almost go to things that are kind of traditionally scary, like the dark, or I think music and sound effects can play a big role in creating a scary mood. Like I'm trying to think of how you can really create like a scary, like hair standing up on your arm type of effect in the game. And I think you could do it with a combination of, being afraid to die, like some sort of a permadeath or something where, you really are trying to stay alive in the game. And some sort of just combination of like darkness, or darkness is always a, maybe even provide like limited view, like a flashlight or some sort of handicap to the player that they might otherwise not have in a regular game.
Well, and I think you nailed it earlier, is being able to hear things around you that you can't really see. And I think, like you said, with a flashlight or something kind of like the Silent Hill effect, where it's really foggy around you, so you can't really see very far. All those things really add to the mood. I think environment plays a big part in setting a mood. Characters can. They don't always. You don't always even need characters to make something scary. You have something like other characters around you that are creepy or whatever, that can always help. I definitely like some people or people making games to kind of think outside of the box. Like I was saying earlier, we've seen, zombies done over and over and over again. Maybe we can do something different with like werewolves or vampires or ghosts, something like that. I mean, like I said, I love zombies, but I think that's been played out. So definitely like to see something different happen within the franchise. Or the genre, I should say.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I've been thinking, trying to, I've been going back and forth on this. Would you rather have like a title that, or like a horror title that had like a little bit of music or no music at all?
I think definitely music plays a big part. I don't know that music is required throughout the whole game. I think parts without music are good also. But I do think music is an important aspect.
Yeah, and you can have like, let's say if there's no music, like you just have the sound of like your footsteps, like I don't know, just like if you're going through like an abandoned town at night or something, you got a flashlight, you just hear your feet, plodding along on some dirt, and maybe just have different realistic sound effects for, the different places you walk into the grass, and it sounds like you're moving through grass.
Your water dripping or
Yeah, just like little, and then doing stuff with sound effects with like distance. Like, I mean, surround sound helps, but like you hear something off in the distance, and then you hear it a little closer, or a little louder later on. Or going back to Resident Evil 4, one of the other scary parts is in that town at the very the village at the beginning. If you hear that chainsaw,
Oh, goodness gracious.
no matter where you are in the town, you're spinning 360 degrees, like, okay, where is the chainsaw guy?
So you can run the other way.
Yeah, like, and like you can hear it no matter where you are, and you just it's
One,
very unsettling.
I think I played that part like three or four times.
Yeah, and like it was very fun because it was like, oh, I gotta get away from this guy. And they did some fun stuff with the gameplay, like you get into like a house and then you could like barricade the door, but then they like come through the window and they set up like a ladder to come up on the second floor. Like I remember there's one building in particular. I used to play the village all the time, like in multiplayer, and it has like a staircase that goes up. You could barricade the front door if you wanted. It basically just has two windows, one on the first and second floor. And I would just get like, I would make it so I'd get on the second floor and I would like chuck some grenades down at the chainsaw guy, like make him come up the stairs, just by like pushing the ladder over a bunch of times. But I don't know, it was still scary. Every time you heard that chainsaw. Because like you could hear it in its idle state, kind of that, and then when he raised it above his head, you hear that, as he's rot walking towards you. Oh, messed up, messed up.
And not that I want to keep going back to the same game, but in Resident Evil 4, the crows and stuff that were always around,
Oh
you
yeah.
could like shoot at and stuff, that always created kind of a little creepy atmosphere and stuff.
Yeah.
It was funny too, because one time I played hours of Resident Evil 4, and then I rode the bus to work or something, and I saw a crow on the side of the road, and my first instinct was to shoot it.
Yeah, you might get some. Yeah. Oh.
If I had to, I mean, I'm gonna go back to Zombie U. The best noises that I feel like that were made in that game were just the ones that I ended up making myself. Because like they litter trash all over the floors and whatnot, but like it's quiet, and then all of a sudden I hear like a plastic bottle like being kicked and rolling across the floor. I'm like, what was that? Oh, it was me. You don't know, like I don't know what sounds are coming from where in that game. It even adds to it because it's like you're, it's putting you into a state where you're scaring yourself, sort of.
Yeah, it all depends on the atmosphere they create. You're not going to create a very scary game with a bunch of pinks and bright colors, some sort of fairyland game. Although that could be a different approach. You could have like what is it on the Lego Movie where they go to that town up in the sky? And what's the kitty? I forget. Unikitty? Unicorn Kitty?
I've never seen the movie. I'm sorry, I can't help you out here.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either, so.
Okay. Well, in Lego Movie, they go to this city and it's up in the clouds, and it's like everybody's happy, like super happy, like almost scary happy. Like at one point, like Unikitty gets really upset, and she gets like these, real angry eyes on her face, and I think she has like she spins her head around, which is kind of creepy too. But it's because like the Lego brick has like an angry face on the back or stuff like that. Anyway, so you could do something like that, like some like fairy tale land, but all of them are like heads rotating 360 degrees and all sorts of weird stuff. I don't know.
Here's
That could
what I pulled
be
from that.
scary, huh?
You want a game that's part unicorn, part cat, but it's The Exorcist Part 4.
Yes, exactly.
A game where everybody's so happy that it's scary.
What about that series Alice? Wasn't that a game series that like they try to do like this very like dark and kind of gory take on Alice in Wonderland?
I never I've seen some people play it. My brother-in-law has the game and I watched just a little bit of it. There wasn't a whole lot of scary parts, but it has a lot of good dark atmosphere to it, but a lot of it's not necessarily like, you know, trying to scare you, or, you know, it's just kind of like this darker subject matter, or I don't know, stuff like that doesn't affect me as much, like insane asylums or things like that.
Alice is definitely like one of those games where I looked at and I like recognized as this is like one of the first games to like try to do that whole subvert children's fairy tales and turn it into something dark just for the sake
right
of that.
Yeah,
so I think that's why I never like looked into it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned bright colors and stuff like that, and that's the thing I kind of found interesting about Master Reboot. Mm-hmm. I knew it was kind of like a supposed to be kind of a more scary horror sort of game, and it's creepy. I'm not gonna say it's, I don't think it's scary to the point of like Resident Evil 4 scary, but it's creepy, but it does it with these bright environments and bright colors. I mean, the game's dark, but a lot of the elements in that game are brightly lit. It's so hard to describe. But it does a really good job of setting up small, creepy environments or whatever. You're very by yourself and on your own while you're trying to solve like these different puzzles and stuff. It's, I don't know, the styling is interesting for the kind of mood they're going for. I enjoy playing the game just because I like a good scare, but it's definitely an interesting title, and I encourage people who like survival horror games or, you know, creepy side of games to definitely check it out.
Yeah.
I heard, and I don't know why I'm bringing this up because I never played it. I don't know if you guys did. Lone Survival was supposed to, Lone Survivor was supposed to be pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I actually have that downloaded, but I have not played it yet.
Yeah, I think Tristan reviewed it.
Right, I think so too. I don't know where he is. Tristan, if you're listening, hop onto the podcast right now.
Yeah, tell us.
And I also got Rock Zombie for review, but I haven't started that yet. But that seems more like a rhythm game, I think, more than survival horror, so we'll see.
Rock Zombie?
Yeah, it's called Rock Zombie.
Is that like a takeoff of like Rob Zombie?
I'm honestly not sure. Like I said, I downloaded it, or I think I still have to download it. I don't know. But I haven't gotten into it yet. I haven't even watched a trailer, nothing. I think I've seen a couple screens, maybe a short trailer before, but that was probably a long time ago. Anyways, so that'll be an interesting one, too.
Yeah.
Horror titles. I don't know. Did Nintendo on their eShop like discount any horror titles this month for Halloween?
They should have.
I think so. In the press release, they always put like the discounted ones at the end. Let me check here.
Wait, I was gonna say, do you have the eShop up right now?
Yeah, I've got the email.
I got the email.
Price reduction, yeah. Hotel Transylvania. Cloudy Mitt with a Chance of Meatballs, too. Legend of Oz, Dorothy's Return. Resident Evil Revelations is 50% off.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
And also, The Mercenaries 3D is 50% off. Cool. It's the Wii U and 3DS version. So, Matt, if you did want to pick up the full version, you said you played the demo of Revelations?
I think between the two, I'll probably pick up Zombie U first.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, definitely pick up Zombie U.
Yeah, I would recommend that one over Revelations. Revelations is good for a playthrough, I think. I enjoyed it. I actually played through it on the 3DS. I didn't beat it again on the Wii U. I have it on the Wii U, but...
But yeah, Revelations is good. It's not bad at all, but if I had to recommend Revelations or Zombie U to somebody, I would tell them Zombie U, definitely. You got to play that.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a different, unique experience. I think they did a really good job on it.
Yeah. It's one of the best uses of the Wii U gamepad and everything.
I really honestly hope that Ubisoft has got a Zombie U 2 or something similar along that same, you know, same line. in development or plan on making another one, because it was a really good start. I don't know that it was like a really, blockbuster hit, but I think they were really onto something with that title.
Only time will tell whether or not they support that.
Yeah, it seems to be the case for a lot of other games, but we won't get into
Here's what's scary: no Ubisoft support. That's scary.
They did come out with a horror, another horror game, Duck Dynasty.
Oh yeah, jeez. We all should have saw that one coming.
Yeah, the art style is actually not bad. Here, let me share the link with you guys. The art style is kind of Animal Crossing-esque.
Really?
Yeah, I mean it's a little blockier than Animal Crossing.
Kind of strange.
Yeah, but yeah, for those who can't see our links and see what we're looking at, there's a Duck Dynasty game for the 3DS that came out. So just look it up if you have a chance. It's
No kidding. It looks almost exactly like Animal Crossing.
it looks like Animal Crossing and Minecraft had this child, and then they just don't acknowledge it.
Do you see the fishing screenshot?
That's
That is like Animal Crossing almost, like just
yeah, but like the art style is very interesting. The blocky heads, I mean it works on the 3DS. I mean it actually, I mean it doesn't look terrible.
look at the last screen. It turns into a survival horror.
Last screen. Oh yeah, there's a flashlight. You're gonna find a frog.
Oh, goodness.
It looks like your character grows a beard as you go along. Interesting.
Wow.
The hidden gems,
Alrighty.
guys. The hidden gems.
Yeah, definitely.
When I came up with the subject, I did not see in a thousand years that we would be talking about Duck Dynasty in the end.
Yeah. Not in a thousand years. Ooh. Yeah. So there's another horror game to add to the list.
Just kind of coming back around to the subject at hand, which is not Duck Dynasty. Do you think a game would be better or worse, depending on the number of jump scares it has?
I don't think jump scares are required.
Yeah.
They can add to, I don't even think they really add to a mood. I think they're good for a good, insta scare or whatever. I'm gonna coin that phrase now, insta scare. But
Patent pending.
jump scares can be good. I don't always like them so much. If you've already got a good survival horror game, why do you need a jump scare? But if you want to throw one in occasionally, I'm not against it.
Yeah.
Agree with that. I think it kind of kills the replayability of the game too. The first time, maybe it gets you, but then the second time you already know it's there, so it's just like, oh, okay, let's just get through this.
Yeah, you're like, this is more of a nuisance than a.
Unless for whatever reason it's more of like a random occurrence. And I guess really the only good, it's not even really a good example, but the whole PT playable teaser thing that was going around, that was, because I watched several different playthroughs because it played through differently for different people. And that was an entirely different beast. And I don't know if this is the way that game, the new Silent Hills game, is going to be like, but that was rather interesting to see so many people like having these different experiences with that little portion or whatever that they put out there.
It could, and like, I don't know, maybe this is just like the jaded skeptical part of me, but I'm just like, now how are they going to pull that off in the full retail version? Because in the demo it's awesome, but a lot of demos for a lot of games have been awesome, but not indicative of the game itself.
One, I don't even, if I remember correctly, and I don't want anybody to quote me on this, that I think they said this isn't really reflective of the game at all. Like, that's not how the game's going to play whatsoever. And that it was more just like an introduction to revealing the game.
That makes me sad.
But that even watching the teaser, not even like playing it, I had that same feeling that I get when I play a survival horror game. It was just that weird, and I don't know. It was very, very, very odd and creepy. The whole thing, everything about it was just incredible. And especially now that he's got Del Toro in on it also, he's fantastic. So I'm kind of curious to see what they come up with. Unfortunately, Nintendo gamers probably won't see any of it, but if they own another platform.
Somebody needs to contact Del Toro right now and get him to make a game for us.
Or who is it? No, it's not Kojima. Who is it? I don't
Resident
remember.
Evil guy? The Resident Evil guy?
No, the guy who makes who's doing the Silent Hill thing.
Oh.
It was Del Toro and the guy who
Oh,
makes.
shoot.
I don't remember his name.
Are you sure Kojima wasn't doing it?
I don't know. Here.
Looking up.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it is Kojima.
Is it?
Yeah. New Silent Hill game, Hideo
Oh, okay. I was right.
Kojima.
Don't remember off
Doing
the top
doctor
of my
stuff.
Yeah, it's great. Like, it's that stuff. It's just the stuff that, like, it builds you up. Nothing happens. But you're just built up. That creates an excellent atmosphere. Don't know. For me, that's the biggest rule of a horror game is build it up, but don't pay it off until, like, the absolute last second.
And you're right, a good survival horror game really keeps you like all twisted in knots until the final moment, and then there's that release. But it's honestly really difficult to keep somebody in such a mood for a long period of time, because if you build a mood around one or two specific things, it kind of, as you're playing through a long title, it kind of gets played out, and you're like, yeah, okay, this is old.
So would you, I would think like what? Maybe 10 minutes would be the longest you would hold that before, a payoff?
I don't know. I think a good survival horror game can keep you kind of on your toes throughout most of the experience. I think a key is definitely variety. If you keep relying on, a tiny handful of things to hold that feeling, then, like I said, people just get used to it and they're like, yeah, okay, I've seen this already. So I think a variety of different elements or different surprises or whatever, you can kind of go through a up and down throughout the game, but most of the time you're kind of on that fear high, I guess you could call it.
Fear high. I think we'll patent pending that as well. In fact, I think we should just write a horror game. We've already got these terms.
Yeah, we
Sounds
got it
cool
all.
stuff, right?
Let's go.
All right.
Let's do it.
So be on the lookout for PureNintendo.com's horror game.
Yeah, it's gonna be like a horror game filled with like Nintendo characters.
Yeah, I like
Way to give it away.
it.
I think with that, I think it's time to leave. That was a nice 45 minutes talking about horror stuff. I want to thank you guys for coming on for this delayed Koopacast.
The Koopa cast that almost wasn't.
Oh man, don't get me started because it really scared me.
It was scary. It was a scary, scary Koopa cast.
Scariest Koopa cast ever.
Yeah, that's right.
So yes, thank you, Justin and J Money, for joining me for KoopaCast 55.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you, audience members, for listening to yet another KoopaCast. We will come back again in 2 weeks, of course, 2 Wednesdays from now, I guess, or yeah, 2 Wednesdays from now.
Uh-huh.
At our usual time. If you have any questions for us, you can email us at podcast@purenintendo.com. You can also reach us through our Twitter handles. We each have our own Twitter handles. Ours are displayed on the bottom of our screens. Well, mine is not there anymore. I don't know why.
mine is not there either.
So, way to go, Google Plus. You dropped the ball.
Google Plus. It's beta.
That's beta.
Beta. Not beta. We've had this for a while.
Yeah.
Is it just beta forever?
It's gamma.
Gamma.
The next Greek letter. Or delta.
Yeah, I was gonna say gamma's like two great. Oh, whatever. Anyway.
Yeah, gamma's the next letter. Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa, and minus. You know the Greek alphabet.
Well, no, you have to finish up now. You started it. You got to keep going through the entire thing.
No. You got to do it backwards.
Oh. Yeah. I don't know if I can do that. That's alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa, lambda, mu, nu, xi, omicron, p. Rho, sigma, tau, upsilon, phi, chi, psi, omega.
Okay, I'm logging off now. I've just been shown up.
No, I took a Greek class in college.
Oh, see, okay.
This is the greatest class ever.
You're like, why would you do that?
I took a Latin class in high school, so it's
hey.
Just one step down or one step
up. Wow, yeah. Latin.
Yeah. The battle of the dead languages now.
I took French.
Yeah. Well, actually, like Greek, you can still like if you go to like the ruins and stuff, you can still read the old ruins. Modern day Greek's a little different vocabulary wise, but you can still read characters, the letters, and everything hasn't changed much.
Yes. And before we bore everybody to death, we just have to have yes, you can reach us through our Twitter handles on Twitter. Yeah. You can also check them out at purenintendo.com. You can also, while you're there, you can also check out our news, reviews, and features. We have definitely plenty of them. So, until next KoopaCast, we will see you later.
See ya.